This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Two Democrats are vying to take on incumbent Republican Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters in November. But first, they face each other in the rescheduled primary on April 28th. Today, we bring you interviews with those Democrats, Fanon Rucker and Gabe Davis. We start with Fanon Rucker. Here is our pre-recorded interview. And joining me now is Judge Fanon Rucker. He's one of two Democratic candidates for Hamilton County Prosecutor. He faces fellow Democrat Gabe Davis in the primary. The winner in November will face incumbent Republican Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters. Judge Rucker, thank you for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me again. It's great to be here with you, even though not here with you.
It's our pleasure to have you. And it's true, back when the primary was scheduled for March 17, we had you and your Democratic opponent in the studio to talk about issues. But my goodness, the world has changed significantly in just one short month. So let me just start by asking you how you're doing amid all this.
Well, I'll tell you what, I am reinvigorated just with life as a whole. I've seen some things about our community engaging that are encouraging, but I'm a Libra. I'm a very social, I'm a very personally engaging individual, and so this has been very tough on this individual.
Well, how have you modified your campaign to, I imagine, go primarily, if not entirely, digital?
That's right. That's exactly what we've done. We have, just as with most other campaigns, gone to teleconferences with our teams, engaging with the public through videos, either live feed. Now, I've done quite a few instructional videos, not necessarily on the campaign, but just about what's happening in our system and how people are being impacted and resources that may be available, because that's what people are looking at more often than not. We also have I was very fortunate before the primary was halted to have a large core of volunteers, very engaged, aggressive volunteers. And so we've engaged them by telephone and by email. And so now they are part of a volunteer Army Corps that's reaching out to voters on a very large scale. And so that's how we're now personally engaging with voters and with our campaign team.
Are there any issues in our community that you've seen amplified by the current crisis, maybe some that you weren't aware of or that you feel like you had been talking about but you believe are now more closely ingrained in the public conscious?
Well, there's a few things that have been highlighted by what we're going through, and then there's a couple of things that have been exacerbated by what we're going through. One of the things that's been highlighted and it's been talked about in the national media and certainly in local media and by different organizations, and that is this unfortunate dynamic of the heightened impact, deadly impact of this COVID-19 on the African-American community. And nobody really knows why. I think there's some speculation that all we're seeing with that is the health disparities that we're aware of, the wealth disparities, I mean, just the disparities in our society as a whole, then is amplified by this particular pandemic on those communities that don't always have as much access or take advantage of those resources as they could. That's one very major and really troubling thing. Another one that has been exacerbated as a result of this, and it's, I actually did a pretty significant video about it, and that's the reality that, and folks have been talking about this in a lot of different venues, and that's the reality that right now, more so than ever, individuals are forced to be confined, locked in many instances, with those who are intimidating or even abusing them. Child abuse, spousal abuse, elder abuse. And we as a society aren't present to observe it as we have been. I've talked to friends who are in law enforcement and some who are school resource officers, and the very disheartening idea that, of course, child abuse reporting is almost zero right now. Why? Because children are not out and about among other people to even see that they're going through it as they were before. But we know that it hasn't stopped. And it's kind of like when the governor said that hair care is stopped and restaurants are stopped and most businesses are stopped, but alcohol and liquor sales will continue because liquor stores are essential. Well, for those of us in law enforcement and history in the courts, we know that the substantial amount of our cases have at their core some type of substance abuse or use. When I worked for a parole board when I was in college, every story started with, well, we were drinking, and then, and so the idea that now people are already in a stressful situation, they're confined more often with their abusers, and they have almost unlimited access to alcohol, which is an accelerant to many of these issues, is just disheartening. And so those instances have exacerbated. And I've talked to people in the court system, as well as law enforcement officers, and of course, violent allegations and families have significantly increased.
And we're talking with Judge Fanon Rucker. He is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Prosecutor on the ballot on the April 28th Democratic primary against fellow Democrat Gabe Davis. Well, let me ask you, Judge Rucker, do you oppose the fact that liquor sales have been deemed essential?
Well, let me say this. I am a lawyer. I was a judge. I'm running for county prosecutor. I don't have the desire to, did not want to, will not, have no intention of running for governor and having to make that type of administrative decision. It's not a decision that I would have made, strictly because of my background and experience in this area and knowing the reality of it. Now, I know that, you know, there are some societal norms that we're used to, and I understand why that decision was made, perhaps. But, again, from a law enforcement, specifically a law enforcement and a court standpoint, I think it creates problems, more problems than it eliminates, by saying that's not something that we need to have as our point of relaxation, especially considering what that may cause ultimately. So it's not that I was opposed to it, but certainly from a law enforcement standpoint, it wasn't to me the best option, because it created problems that now we can't even observe or assist those that we might have usually, because we can't necessarily see what they're going through as much as we did before.
Okay, Judge, so maybe you're not running for governor, but you are running for prosecutor. And what role would you see yourself playing right now if you were currently in that office amid this COVID-19 pandemic?
So let me say that one of the things that I've talked about over the years is I'm very serious about this distinction between public official and public servant. In my very strong opinion, public officials are those who show up to work. You see them when they're running for office. You may see them when there's something that's newsworthy happening, because they like to be in front of the microphone. But then you don't see them at other times. You don't hear them giving service messages. And particularly for those who are public officials, many of them are in very influential advocating positions and can use their voices to encourage or even to discourage without being discouraging. And so were I the prosecutor right now, I would be doing exactly what I'm doing right now as a public servant, and that is getting information out. I put information out about how the courts are currently operating, what people need to expect with our system, how people are looking at and how the bail bond system is being modified and what impact that'll have on our court system. Those are things that a prosecutor, as an influential voice, can not only have a hand in, but can also be a helpful conduit of information to communicate that to the public so that they have some understanding about how all of these things are working. And that's most certainly what I would be doing. Of course, as the prosecutor, I would also be constantly engaging with my office to make sure that the office is running smoothly. There's going to be an incredible backlog of criminal and civil cases once our restrictions ease and the court system goes back to operating. And so whatever actively I, as the policymaker, can and could be doing right now to ensure that there's a smooth transition where people's rights are being restored, because to be honest with you, there's some instances right now where people's rights have been stretched, if not completely cessated during this time. I, as the prosecutor, would make sure that there would be a smooth transition so that people would actually have some confidence that leadership means that they can trust those in those positions.
What do you see as some examples of individuals' rights being stretched?
Well, for example, what we have right now, and I'm a huge supporter of our Chief Justice. There was a declaration that all statutes of limitations are stayed until July, or at least the time has been stayed for filings of cases. What we know is that currently in our court system, and this is on the civil side, civil hearings are being continued. So if someone, in fact, is staying in my property past the time that necessarily they should because they're not paying rent or because they, you know, they're causing damage to the property, there's no action to have them removed or even to force them to pay rent because the courts have stayed all proceedings. I understand from a legal standpoint how that was done, but what about my rights as a landowner? What about my rights as a property owner? And how am I supposed to continue to take care of my obligations if I can't force the person who's sitting on my property to actually take care of their obligations to me? That's one. That's in the civil side. On the criminal side, what we also know is that there have been a staying of time provisions so that normally there's a certain amount of time for cases to be brought to trial. That has been stayed until July by executive order. Well, that's a right that we have for cases to be heard quickly. Now, all of our rights are, I guess I have to say, it appears apparently conditional, because in emergencies and in times of national emergencies or even local emergencies, there is the opportunity to say, well, we can't follow that right now, or there's different conditions that have to be followed so that we reduce our danger. But that still is a right that has been stretched or has been, again, ceased for this particular period of time. Those are just a couple of examples.
We're talking with Judge Fanon Rucker, a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Prosecutor. He's on the ballot on the April 28th primary. I want to ask you to assess the performance of who would be your Republican challenger if you win the primary, Joe Dieters. He's the incumbent prosecutor. Your thoughts on the way that he's served that role during the COVID-19 crisis?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I haven't really seen or heard much from him, except in the past week when he made some very, disrespectful, what I think unethical, unnecessary, unproductive comments about a man who was arrested for filming a video downtown in violation of the health department's order. That was the first thing I think I heard from our prosecutor during this. Or maybe actually I did hear when he announced charges, maybe even the same day, announced charges for the individual who killed Springdale police officer Kaya Grant several weeks ago. But how do I assess? It's difficult to assess if those are the only representations I've seen or heard from our prosecutor. Again, public servant would suggest a more present role. And I'm not talking about getting in front of the cameras every day just to be saying something. I mean actively providing information to the public about the workings of our system, how they're being impacted, the gravity of it, and how we as a community transition our court system back to, or how we adopt many of these changes, because they've been, they're productive and they're helpful. How do I assess it? I've been working on some of the things that I plan to do in transition, so I haven't been necessarily looking to give them a grade or anything. But I think a full-time prosecutor, public servant, is what this community, really this country, needs.
Well, Judge, let me give you the opportunity to make your 30-second pitch to voters.
All right, thanks so much. Again, I'm grateful for this opportunity to come on and just have a conversation. My name is Fanon Rucker. I am the endorsed Democratic candidate for county prosecutor. There's a reason that I'm endorsed. It's because there is a need for active, engaged leadership, experienced leadership. I have that throughout my entire career. but also have measured trust by folks of all parties, all professions, defendants and police officers. This is important. And this episode should tell us even more why there's a need for something different in that office, and not just something different. A retired judge with 12 and a half years of experience is the best person to lead our court system to justice. Let's turn this thing around. I'm the person to do it. Fanon Rucker.
Judge Fanon Rucker is a Democratic candidate for Hamilton County Prosecutor. He faces fellow Democrat Gabe Davis in the primary. The winner will go up against incumbent Republican Hamilton County Prosecutor Joe Dieters in the fall. Judge Rucker, thank you so much for your time. Stay safe out there.
Thank you. Stay healthy. Have a great day.